and welcome to Nourish. My name is Kasha, and I'm an entrepreneur, a longtime meditator, and a student of Chinese medicine. My mission with this podcast is to share the tools and practices to help you integrate your whole self into every aspect of your world. As someone who is both a type A high achiever and a deeply spiritual, vulnerable, and empathetic being, I know firsthand how it feels to be living a double life, showing up one way at work, a different way alone, and struggling to reconcile the two. This disintegration of authenticity is one of the biggest causes of burnout, health flares, and anxiety. For me, understanding how the mind-body connection is crucial to health and success. Cultivating a strong sense of inner self and applying the healing philosophies of Chinese medicine and Zen Buddhism to my life has allowed me to lead from a completely heart-powered place, letting go of other people's judgments and finding peace in allowing my multidimensional being to shine. My hope is that this podcast may inspire you to do the same. I want to call out, it is a practice, it is a journey, but I believe it is the most important thing that we can do for our bodies, minds, and our ultimate potential. Enjoy. Jenna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Kasha.
The honor is all mine, and the timing is perfect because a lot of what you're talking about around, I guess, biomarkers, toxicity, this is stuff that I have been curious about for a while, and a lot of my audience has been starting to ask about. And especially as we kind of, you know, as a woman, I'm of fertile age, and this might be TMI for people. If my mom's listening, she'll be very pleased, but I'm starting to look at, like, you know, fertility testing and things like that. And when I looked at your website, which we will get into, don't worry, folks, I was just shocked. And I feel like I opened a can of worms here that I don't know that I wanted to, but now I can't unsee it. And we need to spread the word. So before we dive into all of those things, I want to pause and ask a question that I ask every guest. And that is, what are three words that you would use to describe yourself?
I know this has to be non-work related, right?
I mean, it could be work related. I purposefully kind of like omitted that. I'm curious if they would be the same for you. So you can tell me that too.
I think it's a bit different. For me personally, I would describe myself, number one, as a food lover. I'm somewhat funny and I'm pretty thoughtful.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I mean, I was looking at your portfolio and just, you know, a couple of casual things out there. Postdoc from Stanford, PhD from Berkeley. You are a environmental health scientist, dietitian by training, and the founder of Million Marker, which is a Y Combinator funded company, I guess, year of 2019, if that's correct. I mean, those are so many amazing things. And I love how none of the words that you used in there were necessarily like the typical words that I would expect of like a, you know, Silicon Valley tech focused founder. And I so appreciate that. I think it sheds a lot of color to other aspects of your personality.
I like that. And I also, you know, when I was looking at your podcast, it's you cover a list of, you know, very holistic topic. And I think we need to think more holistically as a person, as how we approach life, as well as how we approach our health.
Couldn't have said it better than I have said it many times. That's so true. So true. And, you know, in many ways, I'm also a mindfulness practitioner. And this is very kind of, I think, related to what we're going to talk about today. But in many ways, our disconnect from like various aspects of ourselves and our world has kind of gotten us to, I think, a lot of the situation, the circumstances that we're in right now in terms of toxicity and kind of disconnecting how what we do to the planet kind of comes back to us in terms of what we consume and how that can affect us. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. I want to actually take a step back. So I already kind of spoke to this, but you are the founder of a company called Million Marker, which is a health tech startup dedicated to empowering people with the data and tools to determine how the products they use, the foods they eat, the water they drink, right here, negatively or positively influence their health. And as I said, when I looked at your website, I was shocked. I mean, there are so many toxins
out there. So many, more than I think I was even aware of. I mean, I was looking at some examples of the toxins from everyday products we're talking about. And I would love to actually kind of start at the beginning. You obviously have this incredible background in science and in research. What inspired you? Like, was there kind of a pivotal moment that just turned on in your mind where you're like, oh my gosh, I have to pursue this in some way? Like, what was it that kind of opened your eyes to the way that everything that we're consuming in one way or another is potentially affecting our health?
That was two pivotal moments. The first pivotal moment was when I was doing my dissertation in China. I was actually looking at how food environment, you know, where people shop, the distribution of food environment, for example, food environment around you could be fast food restaurant, you know, grocery stores or organic food. So how does these kind of distribution actually contribute to food, people's food choices? Then how does that influence their obesity risk? I was looking at a group of adolescents over there. And then it occurred to me that it's actually not just where people purchase their food. It definitely influences their dietary choice, what's around you. But more importantly, it's actually what's in the food. So that got me started thinking, okay, can we actually understand what's in the food? And also, given you and I have different genetics, even if we eat the same food, we would respond very differently. At the same time, like during that time, there was a lot of food scandal going on, food safety issues that really got me thinking about toxicity. And then when I came back to the US, finishing up my dissertation, and it would just occur to me, we actually don't know. We don't really have a good way of measuring what's inside a person, like thinking about your own physiology, your own genetic, and how do you process these toxins or nutrients? We don't actually know. So that kind of prompted me to start thinking about, okay, this idea of exposome, which is the idea that was talked about during that time, is your total exposure from, you know, when you were born until when you die. Every exposure encompasses, and how does that, you know, make disease happens, and how do you do prevention? That really got me thinking, okay, is there a way we can actually capture all of these things so then we can inform individual about their health, about different biomarkers? Can they do something about it? So that was the first pivotal moment. I was like, okay, we have no data, we have no tools. How could we create these tools to allow individual to understand about themselves?
And you opened up a can of worms with it, I think, because... I mean, just to give people some perspective, what kind of toxins are we talking about here? Just to give a couple of examples, and what are some of the products that you have kind of, through some of your research, recognized that we are, you know, kind of being exposed to XYZ types of toxins through day-to-day products? Like, what are some examples of those?
So there are many different types of toxins. Heavy metal could be a toxin. You know, heavy metal can occur naturally as mineral from well water. So heavy metal can be that way. They could be in fish. So that's a toxin, you know, talking about mercury, for example. And here we talk also a lot about synthetic toxins. So these are like, for example, pesticides. So if you don't eat organic, you could get a lot of pesticide exposure, right? And we're also talking about toxins that were here is actually... A more legit term to use is toxicant. So toxin, we usually talk about naturally occurring substance versus toxicants or synthetic. And these toxicants could be, you know, one example would be BPA, bisphenol A. People probably have heard about that quite a bit. BPA has been banned actually in children's product for over a decade now, thanks to Conscious Mother. But BPA is this magical chemical that makes plastic shatterproof. It used in coating of cans to preserve food. I mean, it's very, very useful. However, we also found BPA is an endocrine disrupting chemical or hormone disrupting chemical. That means it messes with your hormone. It actually mimics estrogen. So if you think about it, your hormone is literally the signaling chemical governs every bodily function you have, from your mood, your metabolism, your fertility, your weight, everything is governed by a hormone. The issue with hormone is that they act in such tiny, tiny amount. Think about like a one drop of water in like 25 Olympic size swimming pool. That's like how much you require for hormone to act on your body and then send signal to cause an action. So you're like, you don't want any of these disrupting chemical in you because once it comes in, it messes with the signal. And when hormone works like, you know, lock and key, they have to match. So when this foreign chemical comes in, it makes your hormone to mismatch. You can think about all the downstream impact, all these bodily functions that we just talked about, which is like really, really problematic.
Oh my gosh. So just to kind of tie it together for people, right? Because I think a lot of women, especially who are in the wellness space, they're familiar with the term endocrine disruptors. And I love how you actually kind of quantified the amount in a way that like kind of provides a level of scale of how little of like an endocrine disruptor is required in a way to like make massive changes on the body. Like you provided that kind of visual for people. Can we kind of continue that cycle a bit? Because I think we think like, oh, you know, we're just drinking from, you know, like a can of, I don't know, maybe this isn't the case. I don't want to put Spindrift on the hook here. Maybe theirs are BPA free, but like seltzer of any kind. We're not even drinking Coca-Cola at this point. We're thinking we're being healthier because we're consuming like a sugar-free, just carbonated beverage. And we're getting exposure to these toxins, you know, setting aside the amounts, because I'm sure that differs by person to kind of have some sort of downstream effects. As you kind of mentioned, everybody's different. But like when it comes to having that, I guess, toxican or toxin overload, and let me know if I pronounce that correctly, what are some of the downstream effects that can come of, let's say, consuming like regular amounts of BPA to the point where it could be detected in your body, or let's say your body is having a struggle processing that?
There are many, many like a downstream impact it could have. These chemicals, in addition to being hormone disruptors, they're also now being called obesogens or diabesogens. Obesogen means they can actually cause obesity. Diabesogens means they can actually cause diabetes. We don't have a lot of data on human. That's part of the issue why we don't have good policy to actually regulate these chemicals. However, we have a ton of animal data actually demonstrating that these chemicals actually causes obesity, causes diabetes. And not only that, it actually, like, if you have a, you know, large amount, yes, it's going to affect you. And one of the kind of focus that we have is like, you know, focus on fertility, which we're going to talk about later, is because these chemicals actually pass on to generations. So your exposure can literally impact not only your next generation, but your grandkids' generation. So it's pretty severe. But the issue here is that people don't feel it. You know, it's like, we talk about these are very low dose exposures, meaning that you only get exposed to tiny, tiny amounts. From day to day, you wouldn't even feel a difference, but you don't really know when your cup's going to get full. So one day, you know, 10 years down the road, you're, you know, developing diabetes, you have obesity or other metabolic syndromes or other conditions, that this could be, you know, your cumulative exposure can actually contribute to your future disease.
So that was actually another question that I was curious about, which is it kind of a cumulative effect? Is it, you know, for example, like certain types of toxins or toxicants perhaps might have like effects after a singular dose of a certain amount, but is it also something to be aware of that, I guess, for people who are thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm being exposed to this all the time. Are the effects in any way reversible, or is it more of like a cumulative effect or one dose effect? If you can kind of give us some insight into that too.
So the doom and gloom part is that they can be cumulative depending on what you've been exposed to. So we have two categories in broad category. We have two categories of toxicants or toxins. One is persistent, one is transient. So persistent chemicals, the reason we call them persistent is that your body can't get rid of them. Literally, you know, 50 years or 10 years, a long time. So one example of that is the PFAS that we have been, you know, hearing in the news called forever chemical. They're being called forever chemical because you can't get rid of them. So once you're exposed to, they stay in your body for a long time.
And would it be kind of like products that might have this? Because I've actually never heard of it. What would be some examples of potentially products that have this type of like persistent chemical?
Nonstick pans, number one.
Lovely.
So if you use nonstick pans, please get rid of them, because usually for nonstick pans, if it's not scratched, it's okay. Generally speaking, however, you don't know when you're going to have this little scratch. So, and they also don't last a long time. So we always recommend people, okay, if you have a nonstick pan, get rid of it, because this is will give you exposure. And PFAS is also, you know, used in plastic, it's used in waterproof clothing, anything. If your clothing says water repellent, most likely it will have PFAS in it. So this is a dilemma with, you know, the outdoor industry. I love going camping and hiking. You know, I need that my waterproof gear, right? And that's the one area that we actually don't have a ton of solution currently. Many companies are now thinking about replacing PFAS, but we're also hoping that they're not going to replace a PFAS substitute, which is going to cause the same kind of impact. And that's actually exactly what happened when we banned BPA as, you know, a single chemical. And the manufacturers started using these BPA alternatives. They can literally swap a letter from BPA or the BPZ or any combination of the alphabet. They will have a new molecule, and that just going to cause the same kind of health effect that you don't really know. So with PFAS, we're really hoping the government will actually regulate PFAS as a whole class, so then people wouldn't get exposure. And this is very, because it's persistent exposure, it's very, very hard to avoid. You only can avoid, you know, from the get-go. Like once you're exposed to, nothing you can do about it.
Well, that's great to know. Hopefully future generations in my case. Now, what about those transient toxicants or toxins? How do those typically work?
So the transient ones, I think, is where we can actually do something about it. The reason that we call them transient is because your body actually have a natural detox system to get rid of them through sweating, through your urination, and then through pooping out through your stools. So this part is encouraging. And this is where Millimarker comes in. We want to educate people, especially on these transient toxins, so you can avoid them. So for these, if you avoid exposure, your body will actually get rid of them. When you mentioned about the accumulation, there have been really interesting research coming out that saying if you actually have, say, for example, you have PFAS exposure, which is persistent chemical, and you also have BPA exposure, which is just transient. And we can talk about phthalates in a little bit. Phthalates is another, you know, almost a poster child transient chemical that we really want people to avoid. So one really significant research have shown if you actually for moms, if they have all three exposures during pregnancy, there's like a way worse outcome versus they just have single exposure for their kids.
Oh my gosh. That is huge. I mean, it's just insane that, you know, we spent so much time talking about healthy eating and all these things. And, you know, many of us are likely drinking our healthy green organic smoothies. And maybe we can open the can of worms on that too. But out of like BPA completely, I guess, like releasing or covered plastic bottles, right? I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. So you started to speak to fertility, and I really would love to dig into this. So what exactly is happening? You mentioned that, you know, there's like the effects that it can have on our body that could be, you know, more transient or more persistent, any of these chemicals that we're exposed to or consuming products that kind of leave some of this trace behind. Why the focus on fertility, which I noticed that Millimarker is focused on now? Why is it important?
So there's a bit of a personal story to this too, when it comes to fertility. And that's actually my second pivotal point. Why I started Millimarker is I had a lot of fertility struggle myself. And the doctors couldn't diagnose me. I had four super late stage miscarriages and I was just told good luck next time. So I was like looking for an answer for myself. It's like, this kind of answer is like a very unsatisfying, you know, considering humans have been reproducing for thousands of years. I'm like, how can we not figure it out? You know, all the preventions and all the strategies that so many things we just had no idea. Because I studied environmental exposures and I have always wondered, okay, could it be my exposure, you know, led to my miscarriages and my autoimmune conditions and all these things? And when I went to the doctor, they said the only test available is heavy metal. But we literally have been studying these chemicals for literally decades. Like, how can we not have a test? It's very problematic. Well, this kind of information is overwhelming and people might feel doom and gloom, but once you learn it, you cannot unlearn it. And I believe that if you know better, you do better. So that's kind of prompted me to start. And I mentioned it kind of, you know, before we started recording, that fertility is a really interesting angle for people to understand these exposures, because one is developmental timing matters. Developmental timing, we mean is when you're exposed to when you're really young, this impact could be a lot larger and more detrimental than when you're much older. So think about like a unborn kid in utero growing really fast, or a kid. So not only they don't have a fully functional detox system, this exposure, like the amount, will be much more for them than for, you know, a full grown adult. Not only that, that these chemicals, when we talk about, you know, why fertility is important, because they impact sperm quality, egg quality. Like, why do they do that? Because you, in order to produce sperm, in order to produce egg, you need your hormones, you need the testosterone, you need the estrogens in order for it to happen, right? So if you think about it, these chemicals come in messing up with your hormone system and the signaling, you would just not make good quality eggs and you would not make quality sperm. And it takes two to tango. So if you're already starting with poor egg quality, poor sperm quality, you can already imagine that this embryo quality wouldn't be as optimal. At the same time, if you don't prevent your exposure during your pregnancy, you're literally exposing your unborn kid with these exposures. And these exposures would pass on to the next generation. But if you actually pay attention before you start conceiving, you're already changing, you're optimizing your sperm quality, you're optimizing your egg quality, your embryo quality will be better. You would create a very healthy in utero environment for your unborn kid. And when your kid is born, that you're already on this path for this very healthy, sustainable lifestyle that your kid is going to totally benefit from it, not just currently, but also the future generations, right? So it just like, okay, it gives you literally the biggest bang for your bucks. So if you understand this knowledge and if you start taking action, you're just going to literally benefit for generations and not just you and your family, but also the environment. Because if you have like a horrible planet to live, you know, like full of pollution and everything, like what's the point? Like how does your kid and then your kids, your grandkids going to live? Because a lot of these chemicals that we're talking about, there are major pollutants. They're like major plasticizer chemicals. You know, if you have paid attention on the news, that we see plastic problem is pretty huge right now. The Pacific garbage patch, you know, you see the horrible photos of turtles and whales that getting polluted by plastic, birds. And you can imagine, and there's also, you know, a lot of research now showing that microplastic or nanoplastics are in human bodies, in blood, in lung, umbilical cords. You think about it, that these chemicals that we use, you know, these transient ones like BPA phthalates, these are like literally plasticizers. They can contribute to more than 80% of the weight by plastic. So long story.
I mean, okay, there's something so empowering about even being able to do something about this, to recognize where you're at, like to get a baseline of data, which is what Million Marker provides. Because frankly, I remember feeling so overwhelmed, and I think I tried to do like a plastic-free month. It was nearly impossible. It was nearly impossible to do that. And then, you know, you factor in just some of the lifestyle choices that we make day to day that go beyond that, and it all adds up. And so I think just recognizing and having this different view to understand, you know, what kind of effect this is having on your body and then potentially your kid's body, that is just so, so, so empowering. Frankly, also, I'll mention this, Jana, because you mentioned that you studied in China, right, for a period of time. And I studied Chinese medicine, actually, in between Microsoft, you know, and what I'm doing now, that kind of was my focus. And one of the things that I found so fascinating is that when it comes to conception, we talk a lot about like the first 40 days, the 40 days after birth, there's that very popular book. But in Chinese medicine, they spend a lot of time actually preparing the mother and the father for pregnancy. And this is just like probably one of the most important things that we can do, because if you're consuming foods and water and, you know, getting exposed to literally toxins or toxicants every single day, that is going to have such a larger kind of footprint on the health of your child. That is huge.
Absolutely. That's the part that I really like, this holistic way of thinking about, you know, human body and health. Not saying that Western medicine is not important. You know, if you have broken limbs or, you know, have an accident, that's absolutely useful. But as for day to day, having this holistic thinking, I think it's very important. And this is not just, you know, when it comes to food, but it's also stress. You mentioned, you know, your mental health, your spirit, mind, and body, it's very, very important to, you know, have everything working together, because we tell people to detox a lot. But if you actually don't have a healthy body system to support you, so even if you detox, it's not going to do much. You literally have to think about, you know, your microbiome in your gut. You need to have a fully functional gut. You need to be exercising. That helps you detox. You need the nutrients to help support your body. And you also can't be too stressed out. So like, your mental health is extremely important. When we talk about these detoxing, you know, strategies and tips, we don't want people to overwhelm, because if you're stressed out, you're making that cortisol, which is also a hormone. So you don't want to have a ton of cortisol, because that's not going to help you with detoxing.
100%. 100%. So you actually just brought up such a good topic that I think we should discuss, which is, I feel, at least this is my perspective, that when I think of detoxing, I think of like green juice in a plastic bottle, you know, and you're just like drinking that thing for 6 days. I think I did this once when I still lived in New York City for 3 days, and I nearly died after that. Like, that was the end of that journey. Did not do it for, like, I couldn't do the 4 full days. I was so hungry. What does detoxing from some of the toxins and toxicants that you talked about, what does that look like, right? Because when somebody takes the million marker test, they are able to understand what their exposure looks like, right? And then what happens after that? Like, what kind of recommendations are you making for people?
A lot of these recommendations we focus on are lifestyle choices, coming from your diet and coming from the products you use. Those are the major ones. When it comes to diet, obviously, based on your financial situation, we always want people, if you can, please eat organic, trying to reduce plastic as much as possible. As you mentioned, we have such complicated relationship with plastic. It's so convenient. It's so useful. So we can't completely get rid of it, but you want to reduce as much as possible, especially anything that comes to contact with your food. Think about your kitchen, you know, don't use that saran wrap. Use a beeswax wrap that you can easily clean and non-toxic. Get rid of that nonstick pan, use stainless steel or use cast iron or ceramic. And also try to use a water filter. Those are important strategies. And then when it comes to your product, trying to buy non-toxic products. Number one thing to avoid is fragrance. Fragrance is the easiest thing to pay attention to and also to avoid. So don't get fooled by aroma sometimes, or unscented. So unscented is actually a scent. You know, if you buy a deodorant, the deodorant says unscented, that's actually a scent that could contain fragrance. And a lot of fragrance is a conglomerate words that could have over 3,000 chemicals in it. And the phthalates is sort of the number one in fragrance. It's not only used as preservative, but it's also used making the fragrance to stick onto your body for a lot longer. And that's a hormone disruptor, and you don't want to have it. So that's like the number one thing. So avoidance is the number one. We all often get people ask, okay, can I take some vitamins to help detox? That's always like, we always get that. For now, we don't have a lot of studies showing, you know, which vitamin can actually help you detox. The only solid research we have is on vitamin B and vitamin B complex. I mean, theoretically, it makes sense, because one way also for detox is making sure that you consume a lot of antioxidants. So if you have a rich, you know, colorful meal, like a fruit and a veggie rich meal, you will get a lot of antioxidant that helps with detox. And the solid research we have seen is taking vitamin B complex can help mitigate some of the effect by air pollution. So whenever people ask me about vitamins, I always recommend take your daily vitamin C and vitamin B, because also these two vitamins are water-soluble vitamins. So if you take extra, your body will get rid of it. You'll probably see your pee being super yellow, but that's not a big deal. But pay attention on other type of vitamins, unless, you know, the doctor tells you to do so, because other vitamins like A, D, and E, those are fat-soluble vitamins. So take those with caution. But B and C, just pop a couple pills every day, it's not going to hurt.
Really, really helpful. Thank you. I am thinking to do something kind of fun. And since funny, I think, was one of your words, this is fun, maybe somewhat funny, we can go for it. This might get personal too, but not too personal, just like bordering where it's okay. I was thinking we could go through maybe like the top three most common products out there that are offenders of some of, let's say, the toxins that you mentioned. We already talked about nonstick pans being one of them. And I was thinking it'd be cool to talk about the product and then maybe an idea for an alternative, because I feel like that could be really inspiring to people. And then when I say it gets personal, I'm assuming some of these alternatives are ones you use. So we're going to get like a look into your kitchen or your beauty medicine cabinet by doing this. But, you know, I see you on the call right now and you don't live in a bubble. So I think that there's hope for us all that we can like live and exist, but also make the better choices. So we talked about the kind of nonstick pans. What are some alternatives that we could look for there? And we can choose like two other products after that.
Ceramic pans or ceramic, pay attention on the ceramic because I usually don't recommend ceramic, but ceramic has this non-stick thing and it's easy. That my issue with ceramic is usually these ceramic pans, they don't last as long. After a couple of years, you have to throw them out. So in terms of environmental footprint, it's not very good. So I always like to recommend cast iron or stainless steel. So cast iron, you just need to make sure you season that pan pretty well. It's like a day, you know, rub a little bit of oil, heat it up a little bit, and it can't actually become nonstick. I have heard people complaining about, you know, cast iron pan being pretty heavy. And I always say it actually helps with your arm muscle. So
yeah,
it's not too bad.
Nice little bicep going on. That's a good idea. Yeah.
So a stainless steel pan is another choice. With stainless steel pans, you just need to use a little bit extra oil. Make sure you use your healthy oil and that shouldn't be a problem.
So what are two other products that you would think, like, if you're thinking like, okay, these are the ones that are potentially really common offenders of some other toxins or toxicants out there, what's another one that comes to mind?
Another one, really big one, people oftentimes don't know about is BPA is actually used to coat receipt papers. So your gas station receipt, your grocery store receipt, don't touch that. That will actually give you a ton of exposure through dermal, by touching it through your skin. So have your receipt email it to you. Don't touch it. If you absolutely have to touch it, like, you know, wash your hands after, but don't touch that receipt.
That's a good one. That's such an easy swap. And I feel like with all this paperless, cashless stuff going on, everything is more digital now. So thank you, I guess, Stripe, for making this work for us. You're making a step in the right direction for health.
Yep. The last one is personal care products. I mean, personal care products is a whole big category. I mentioned earlier, definitely avoid fragrance. So read label is very important. You know, when you go purchase a product, make sure you look at the back of the label and then making sure it doesn't have a fragrance as one of the ingredients in that product. Choose fragrance-free. That's the best way to go. And now there are some products that would say, oh, we use natural fragrance. So sometimes this can be problematic. The safest way just to avoid all fragrance. The reason I mentioned about natural fragrance is that many times some product will say, okay, this natural fragrance is from essential oil. But there's no way to actually vet this essential oil is a true naturally made essential oil. About 50% of the essential oil that in the market is actually synthetic. But they've been called essential oil, but it's actually not. It's just a synthetic fragrance, which exactly then you're getting that phthalate exposure that you don't want to. So that's another one. And it's not just personal care. It's also household cleaning product, for example, your laundry detergent, your dishwashing detergent. So please choose fragrance-free.
Love that. I'm going to be doing some purging. And I know that on the Million Marker website, I noticed you actually had a list of some recommended products on there as well. So that could be a great resource, which I'll hyperlink below. I noticed a couple in there. One personal note, literally after reading your bio, I was like, I got a glass water bottle. Immediately. Yay. I was just like, oh, but I mean, this is like BPA free silicones. I think I'm going to replace this with like a glass straw, I guess. But I don't know if you have any thoughts about that, because I feel like, you know, we always talk about water bottles, but a lot of the ones out there are plastic water bottles anyway, right? Like, what do you use? That's what I want to know.
I use a stainless steel water bottle. You mentioned a silicone. Silicone is a really interesting one. So silicone, in terms of human health, it's actually definitely good for better for human health.
Okay.
And just make sure when you purchase silicone products, make sure it's food grade or platinum based silicone, because not all silicones are created equal. They could have impurities. If it's not food grade, if it's not platinum based silicone, they could give you toxin exposures. However, silicone is actually not biodegradable. So their life is probably 4 to 5 years. And after that, they go straight into landfill. So this is something to pay attention of, you know, while silicone is okay for human health, but it's really not that great for the environment. So I have silicone bags as convenience. You know, when I go camping or something, I have that silicone bag to put my food in instead of Ziploc bags. It's reusable. It's pretty light instead of carrying, you know, a glass container, which is not very user friendly. And, you know, if you don't make it easy for people, nobody's going to change. So this is something to pay attention of when it comes to silicone. But I love that you changed to a glass water bottle versus, you know, the typical plastic ones.
Oh, yeah. Well, you already inspired that. And I mean, I'm going to be looking at pretty much everything. I think this is just so huge. And as I told you before we started recording, everyone in my family, if you want to know what you're getting for the holidays, pause right now, because I'm definitely getting everybody this test. They are, yeah, I think our minds are going to be blown. And I'm so excited to take it so that way I can figure out what my, I guess, toxic load or what that looks like. I mean, this was amazing. Jenna, thank you so, so much for coming on. And I just want to say thank you for the work that you do, because I think this is just such an unbelievably unique blend of kind of holistic whole person care with science. And that's exactly what this podcast is all about. Now, people are going to want to find you. So can you just share with the audience, like, where can people find you? What do you have going on? I'm going to deep link everything in the show notes, folks. But please tell us what's happening in the world of Jenna and Million Marker.
People can find us on our website, www.millionmarker.com. We're trying to create a lot of educational content. Even if you don't buy a test, please get yourself educated. Because again, once you learn it, you cannot unlearn. Just start making changes. You don't have to make changes everything in one day, but slowly, one step at a time, you can make these changes and reduce your exposures. We're pretty active on social media. Follow us on Instagram. We try to do a lot of, again, educational content, interviewing different experts. Because again, like, as I mentioned before, detox is not just about avoiding these chemicals. It's about your mental health. It's about your gut health. It's about many other aspects of your life. So we're trying to create different content oriented the holistic way, like what you do, to create these content for people to understand more about their health and how to optimize it. Lastly, I want to give us a little other plug-in, is that we're doing a lot of clinical trials right now. We're running studies. So one of the study that we're currently doing is we're trying to recruit couples who are trying to conceive for more than 6 months and haven't been successful. And if you don't have other kind of comorbidity disease like diabetes, kidney disease, or cancer, we would love to have you and your partner join our study. This is a study mainly looking at how reducing plastic exposures and these hormone disrupting chemicals can help with your fertility, particularly your sperm quality.
Wow, that is amazing. I am going to plug you to my friends in a very casual way, because yeah, that sounds, I mean, that's incredible. I cannot wait to see that research come out. Jenna, this was so amazing. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And it was such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much, Kasha.
Thanks everyone for listening. See you next time.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Nourish. If you enjoyed this conversation, please leave a review. 5-star reviews help the podcast grow, and I'm so grateful for that. I publish new episodes twice a month, so hit the subscribe button to be notified. And if you want to stay connected in between episodes, join my community on Instagram and TikTok at nourish_podcast. All right, that's all I got for you today. See you next time.